Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey guys, and welcome to Paranormal Thoughts Podcast, and as always, thanks for joining me. In today's episode, we're doing yet another UFO abduction case. Today, we're looking at the case of Linda Caudle, also known as the Manhattan Transfer Abduction, or also known as the Brooklyn Bridge Abduction. Before we get into that, just a few things. If you enjoy this episode of the podcast or any of our previous episodes, please subscribe to the podcast. It's the best way to keep you guys in the loop for when I post a new episode. Please also leave a 5-star rating. It really does help the podcast get pushed up in the charts and helps it get shared to more people who can find it. We're on Facebook and Instagram. Just type in Paranormal Thoughts Podcast and we'll pop up. We also have a blog on WordPress, which is paranormalthoughtspodcast.wordpress.com. There'll be a bunch of assets on the blog relating to this episode, so you can jump on there and suss it all out. Also, we do have merch you can go check out at teespring.com. And we also have a PayPal if you felt like donating some of your hard-earned cash. There's really no need to do that. I'm really good at selling this, but in all honesty, if you do feel like you want to donate a little bit of money, it really does help put it straight back into the podcast. So everything I just mentioned is down in the description of this podcast. So I've just sat down to record this and I feel extremely tired all of a sudden. Well, it sort of felt like this all day, but I've just realized how hard it actually is to speak. So if this episode's like a mess, like all the other episodes, a little more of a mess than normal, I feel that's why, because I feel like I can't even express what I'm trying to say right now. So apologies for that, but the show must go on, as we like to say in show business. Oh, fucking hell. I feel like that was a pretty funny thing to say, wasn't it? All right, well, what are we talking about today? We're talking about yet another UFO abduction story. This is one which I knew about quite some years ago, but kind of forgot majority of the details. I remembered the very specific part of the case, which I'll get to shortly. But other than that, it wasn't until it kind of reappeared when I was doing some research. And obviously, Bud Hopkins, who is really the god of he's the lead researcher really for UFO abduction and, really researching what has happened to the abductees. So rest in peace, Bud. But once I seriously started getting into this stuff, over 10 years ago, Bud Hopkins was a name that continuously came up. He was in a bunch of documentaries I'd watch. It's kind of one of those weird ones. He's been a very big part in my time of researching and learning about this topic, because as I've said many times on this podcast, this stuff is my favorite stuff to look at, to talk about. So it's always really exciting. So this case took place back in 1989, and it's an interesting one because people believe this to be one of the most solid UFO abduction cases to happen in the last, 50 or so years. Some of the others, which I've touched on the podcast, go check those out, like the Betty and Barney Hill, the Travis Walton case, things like that. They also stand up in their own way, but people even will put this case above those. But like any UFO abduction story, there's always holes in the stories. There's always holes in the evidence and the information that you can kind of find. And I don't know if it's just me becoming a little more skeptical or really trying to look at the stuff in a way that I really want to get through the bullshit and actually find the really good stuff. And, you know, this case, it's really interesting, but then you kind of start to look more into it and I'm finding some kind of stuff that doesn't really add up for me. So I don't really know if I can come sit here and say, oh, this is like, this is the case that, you know, it's sort of, it's the thing that I'm going to put my chips on. But it's not. I think it's a great case and it's pretty insane because there was 23 witnesses who've come forward over the, you know, over the sort of 30 years after the event happened. And, you know, it's very well documented by Bud Hopkins and, you know, some of the people who have gone on to kind of retell the story and such. But it's one that is really interesting and it's a great UFO abduction story, put it like that. So the year is 1989, it's April. Linda Caudle is out and she's at a bookshop and she sees a book by Bud Hopkins that stands out to her and it's called Intruders. I believe this was Bud Hopkins' second release. She took the book home and she reckons she didn't even get through the first chapter before things were kind of, something was not right, something was really standing out, and it's that she believes that what she was reading was relevant to her life, that she had also experienced some of the similar details that were in that book. Now, her abduction, that is what we're about to talk about, takes place some months later in November. And I'm not really sure what experiences Linda actually had prior to this, because from doing my research, that nothing was really mentioned before that time. But I'm assuming she must have had something, right? But why not really go into that? Not really sure. But the event that we're about to talk about here, the big one, happened on November 30th, 1989. And pretty much this event, it's had a pretty big impact on the abduction theory. And, you know, I think a lot of people have probably, this has been quite one of those springboard kind of cases, like Betty and Barney and so on. So, like, I'm taking this very seriously, obviously, but it's probably the one I've looked at the most recently and gone, wow, there's some stuff weird about this. But either way, it's worth mentioning that it's a massive piece of history in the UFO abduction theory. So Linda woke up in her apartment at 3 a.m. There was a being down by the end of her bed and she describes it as being a grey alien. You know, your very typical 5 to 4 feet tall, large head, large almond eyes, small body. So, you know, very traditional grey alien, right? The next memory that Linda has was that she was inside a craft with multiple beings in a room. She was lying on a table and there were a bunch of these aliens all around her. The next memory she has was that she was back in her apartment and her husband and two children were sound asleep. You know, nothing had stirred them. And she, I guess, was sort of in that weird state of what kind of just happened. But she decides then after this to reach out to Bud Hopkins himself, which makes perfect sense because she had the book and, you know, she had already felt like she'd had some similarities to what Bud was writing about. So I suppose the best thing you could probably do at that time would be to reach out to the man who you'd hope would have some answers for you. Bud took a lot of interest in Linda's account and decided the best way for her to move forward and to get the most amount of information, because at this point this is all from her memory, was to do some hypnotic regression therapy and to actually go deep into her subconscious and actually pull out some of these memories. So under hypnosis, Linda recalled a fair bit more of the story. It turns out there was actually 5 beings in her bedroom, not just the one. She remembers trying to wake her husband up, but she wasn't able to move. The beings took her into her living room and over to a closed window. A blue light came through the window and actually levitated Linda up into the air. Linda remembers being in the fetal position as she floated through the closed window, so through the glass, with 3 of the 5 beings beside her. So she is outside of her apartment right now, 12 stories in the air in Manhattan. She does remember right before she entered the craft that she actually stood up in midair and she kind of entered the craft that way. So she was placed on an examination table and some tests were taken on her. She does remember something being planted within her nose. The experience for her was quite traumatic and terrifying. So it definitely wasn't a positive, kind of willing experience. It was quite traumatic for her. As, you know, probably majority that you hear about UFO abduction cases are quite traumatic for the person because, you know, they're there against their will. They're very confused what's going on, and it's, from what you can imagine, it's scary. In all honesty, like, you wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy at times, you know, so I completely get it. But either way, she had a negative experience. So Linda decided to go get a x-ray of her nose. Obviously, she has this memory of something being in there, so why not go and give it a suss? It turns out there actually was a small metallic-like object that was lodged within her nose. And the interesting thing was that she got that x-ray done some time after she woke up one night and she had a very serious bloody nose. And she thought, maybe I've been taken again, I've had another abduction. So she went back and got another x-ray and nothing was there. But apparently from the x-ray, you could actually tell that there was some cartilage starting to heal where whatever was in her nose was there. So they could prove that something was there, which no longer was there now. It is interesting to why when there was something in her nose the first time she went and got the x-ray that maybe they didn't try to remove it to actually see what it was. But there's a bunch of that, I feel like, in this case where it's like, why didn't she do that? I don't know. She just didn't. So that's all we kind of have to go off. And I haven't personally seen the x-ray photos. I've seen one photo online, but I'm not actually sure if that is her x-ray or if it's just a remake. So a very interesting abduction case there, very typical, except that she literally floated through the air in, you know, one of the busiest cities in the world, 12 stories in the air, into a UFO. Now, were there witnesses? Yeah, there definitely were. There was about 23 came forward over those coming years, but two witnesses that really tie into the story were two men by the names of Richard and Dan. Now, Richard and Dan were pretty... During the Bud's research, they were quite aloof and they didn't make their presence known other than through typed letters or some audio recordings. So they never actually met with Bud, even though he wanted to. They never, I suppose, had a conversation on a phone. It was all from their end, and that's kind of how Bud got the information off them. But when they originally contacted Bud Hopkins, the men said that they were police officers and they were about two blocks away from Linda's apartment, and they actually saw this UFO hovering by the building. And then they saw, I believe it was like a yellow-orange light, which then turned blue, and a woman in a fetal position started flying through the air with these aliens on either side of her. And apparently the men actually wanted to help because they were supposedly police officers. So, you know, they're to serve and protect or what have you. So, but they realized they couldn't actually leave the car. Their car was stalled and they weren't going anywhere. So apparently, quite some time after, about a year or so, they reached out to Bud Hopkins because he seemed, I'm not sure how they got the idea to reach out to Bud, because Bud hadn't gone public with the story yet. It wasn't until some years after that this story actually became public knowledge, when Bud kind of felt he had enough information to release it to the world. But either way, these two mysterious men found Bud and said, we want to know if that woman who we saw abducted that night is okay, and they wanted to sort of reach out to her. And Bud told Linda that these two men might get in contact with her and to kind of not to tell them anything, because he wanted to still hear their side of the story and she didn't want her account to muddy the water, you know. Makes perfect sense. These two men did actually find Linda. I suppose it wasn't too hard because they saw the building she was taken from and the window. They could, you know, sort of assume that she was on the 12th floor, that apartment building. Great, like, that's not going to be too hard to get in contact with her. But it seemed like these men were very interested in Linda. Like, it was a little more than just checking that she was okay. They really kind of wanted to know that what they saw happened, and they became quite stalkerish as well. Linda would actually see the men out in public multiple times following her, and they kind of obviously they knew where she lived, so I suppose she was probably a bit scared for her life, you know. Like, it's a bit of a quite a severe thing to be stalked, obviously. And Linda was actually kidnapped by Dan and Richard in broad daylight one day. They literally put her in a car and drove around the city, interrogated her, asking her about that night and what she knew. Was she, you know, at one point actually made her take her shoes off because apparently aliens don't have toes, and they kind of are under the impression that she might have actually been an alien herself. So obviously both men were quite disturbed by the event that had happened, and now, you know, they're kind of taking it to an illegal sort of status. But it turns out that these men weren't actually police officers. They were bodyguards. Now, this was never actually on the record, but supposedly the man that they were at the time guarding was the United Nations Secretary General. So these men are in, I suppose they'd be in a motorcade where there's multiple cars. For whatever reason, the cars have stopped, obviously from this UFO. They've all stalled and they've all gotten a clear witness of this abduction taking place. An interesting thing is apparently this member of the UN did speak to Budd on an occasion, but he did say if Budd would release his identity, he would completely deny. He didn't want to be caught up in it. But supposedly, whoever they were driving also can corroborate the story of seeing this woman midair. So there's two pretty key witnesses there, right? Richard and Dan. Now, another event happened where Dan was the more mentally unwell man out of the two of them. So Dan actually abducted Linda once again, but by himself. And he took her to a beach, a deserted beach. He placed Linda in the type of nightgown that Linda was wearing when she was abducted. And he was pretty much waterboarding her in the ocean. He was attempting to drown her. And luckily, Richard actually turned up just in time to stop Dan from what it was that he was doing. And the interesting thing is that Linda never went to the authorities after, you know, both of these kidnappings happened. Dan ended up in a asylum because he pretty much had a breakdown and was not mentally well. At one point, Dan actually broke out of the hospital and actually was trying to go after Linda and had pretty much organised it. But Richard actually managed to stop him before that happened. So you can just kind of see that this is pretty full-on stuff, right? Like it's definitely not a typical abduction kind of case that's going on here. But there's more. An interesting memory that arose from both men was that they remember that night after seeing the UFO, Dan and Richard and the man who they were transporting were all on a beach. And they were looking at Linda with the five beings, and they were sort of shifting through the sand, apparently, you know, taking tests of the minerals in the sand. And Linda was holding a dead fish in her hand, and she kind of looked up to all the men and said, "Look what you've done." And one of the beings, one of the aliens, actually referred to Linda as the Lady of the Sands. And it was this really strange memory, but that's why we believe that Dan took Linda to this beach, because he was trying to recreate this memory that he had. When Richard shared this with Budd Hopkins, Budd hadn't ever heard this from Linda before, so he kind of sussed it out, see if she had that same memory. And apparently he was able to uncover that same sort of thing. Linda was on a beach with these beings holding a dead fish, and she said she was the Lady of the Sands. Pretty full on. I don't really know how to make sense of it, but it turns out too that Richard believes that he was also a abductee, and he was being abducted by, you know, for quite some years from a young age, and that there was a young girl that he would see in his dreams. And this girl was believed to have been Linda, and Linda was able to corroborate that same story, and they believed that they were connected on a really deep level and that they were actually being abducted together and probably made to reproduce together and so on. But that's another layer to this story. So Richard kind of, I guess, he came out and said he was in love with Linda, but Linda's obviously married and has kids. But she also kind of felt the same way about Richard, even though he kind of like abducted her at one point. And this is what I mean. Like, this story is insane. Like, me talking about it right now, like, it's hard to even sort of break down, but this is kind of, This is what happened, supposedly, so.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Richard and Dan, like, obviously they're a part of the story for a reason. If that's the case, that Linda had been having these abductions and so had Richard, and that they are connected on a pretty big level. Stan Romanek has the same kind of thing, you know, a pretty well-known abductee in today's sort of times has that same thing where, you know, he's married, but he also has the woman that he believes he is abducted with and that they share children together. You know, it's full on, but it is a thing that people report. Another key witness came forward. Her name was Janet Trimble. She was making her way home across the Brooklyn Bridge when she witnessed the UFO, and Linda obviously being abducted. But Janet wasn't really sure what she was seeing. She thought maybe a movie was being produced in the city and that's what they were filming. But it turns out that when she got wind of, I suppose, other people seeing the same sort of thing, that wasn't the case. So she reached out to Bud Hopkins as well and drew a picture of what actually happened. And the picture that she drew lines up perfectly with a picture that Dan and Richard also submitted. I feel like these pictures were done by the same person, or they both saw the exact same thing. I obviously believe in alien abduction. If you've listened to this podcast before, I've been pretty honest about that. I don't know what it is about this case, but I don't buy it 100%. Okay, I did maybe about a week ago. And then when I really started to look into it, I'm like, this is weird. There's just some weird stuff. It's still worth obviously talking about because it's kind of a part of the history. And I think I want to believe that it happened, but I'm not 100% sure. I think I still probably am leaning towards that did happen, but I'm still a bit skeptical on some things. But if this did happen, why was this case seen by so many people? What was it that, because obviously if people are abducted, you know, as frequently as they have been for quite some time now, and no one necessarily witnesses the event other than, you know, the person being abducted, why was this so public? Why were people in their cars on the street seeing this UFO? And not just the UFO, but also seeing a woman flying, you know, 12 stories in the air out of her window. Why were people meant to see this abduction? The issue with, sure, there's a lot of witnesses, but a lot of these witnesses, they never actually came forward specifically. It was just written, typed letters and audio recordings. As I said, like, a pretty big part of the story is Richard and Dan, and Bud Hopkins never met them. Like, that seems strange, right? Not just to me, that's a very strange detail. Something I found out that was quite interesting was that the witnesses never hand wrote any of the letters. They typed them up, fair enough, easy to read. But one of the witnesses sent in an envelope, and on that envelope they hand wrote the address, as you probably would, right? And the lettering actually lined up perfectly with one of the handwritten letters that Linda had written when it was actually tested side by side. Turns out that most likely the person who sent in that envelope could have actually been Linda. There's some speculation about why Linda kind of originally came forward as well. I'm a massive advocate for people coming forward to share the story, not to have a monetary kind of reason behind it. But it turns out, and this is online, there is a contract between Bud and Linda that if Bud was to write a book about her story, which he did, that she would receive a percentage cut of that. So regardless of any of that, Linda is kind of in it for money. And that's not often something you come across, but regardless, that's something I've kind of found. And it's kind of blown me away a little bit. And this will be on the blog. It's actually Bud Hopkins' wife at the time was documenting this case. Yeah, she was a videographer and she made documentaries and she didn't really buy it. And she kind of found out that, Linda was planning on getting a cut out of whatever the story was. And, you know, I think Bud Hopkins, I will stand here and say, sure, if this story is a hoax, that's definitely on Bud Hopkins at all. I genuinely think that he would not be a man to lie and deceive. I think it would more so be some other people who, you know, could be, you know, manipulative and, you know, they pull the wool over his eyes and kind of tell him what he wanted to hear. I completely get it. I feel like I've had that happen to me too, you know, so I get it. And when you're trying to prove something and there's all these witnesses and like, I think, okay, this is my problem, right? The key witnesses, we don't actually know who they are. And it kind of seems like they could be made up. The thing that Linda didn't go to the police after she was abducted by Dan and Richard, why wouldn't she go to the police after she was abducted? Maybe because some people don't. I completely get that. It did happen more than once, though. And it just kind of seems like an odd thing to not do unless they didn't potentially exist. Who knows? This is my problem with this case. It's like there's these weird things that they don't sit right with me. I really love the story and I think it could be plausible, but there's weird shit here. And I couldn't sit here and not be honest because that's not what this podcast is about. Like, this is a massive case. In all honesty, like, all you had to do is like look up, you know, the Manhattan Transfer abduction or, you know, the Linda Caudill abduction and like, there's information out there, but like, this doesn't sit right. I'll sit here and, you know, when I talk about Travis Walton's case, I believe that man, you know, and sure, he's gone on to make money after the fact because he's, you know, he does the tour circuit and such, but I don't think it was like even before that kind of took place that he was having contracts signed, you know, jotted up, at least that we know of. You know, saying I'm going to get this percentage if it gets made into a film. It's like, what? Like, that, like, I don't know. It's so strange and it makes it feel dirty and I don't know. It really puts it all kind of in a weird perspective, you know. And I didn't think that was going to be the case when I started looking into this. And then I was like, hang on, like, there's really weird shit here. Like, your key witnesses who did this really weird shit, no one knows who they are? Like, the fuck? That doesn't really make any sense, does it? I don't really know what to make of this case. As I said, I love the story. I think the idea of all these people seeing the same thing, like seeing an abduction like that, is surreal. It's absolutely incredible. And that could have taken place, but there's some weird things like, you know, I think for Bud Hopkins to be that invested, I think they're surely is something to it. He has done so much for the UFO abduction field. He was the first person to kind of be like, this is happening and we need to help people, you know. And I've had people on here who've really struggled with this exact thing and, you know, I completely get it. People, kind of like what I'm doing now, not poo-pooing it, but kind of pulling apart the information, and I think you do have to kind of hear them out. And I think Linda was heard out for quite some years. And, you know, I think she got the help that she kind of needed through Bud, you know, to sort of uncover what she sort of needed to know. And she's obviously gone on to make some profit and so on. But it's hard to know what exactly happened. I don't think the whole story adds up. And that's kind of where I'm at with it, which is a shame because honestly, I thought this is going to be because on paper, the story is fucking insane. It's great. But once you go, okay, the key witnesses are kind of weird. There's this weird thing of handwriting, this weird thing about money. No one ever really reported any of the earthly abductions? Like, what can you really make of that? It doesn't really help, does it? So I don't know, guys. I'm a bit torn on this one. And that's sometimes how these podcasts turn out, you know, and that's completely fine. We don't really know what to make of it all the time. That's completely fine. But it's very interesting. And, like, I think I kind of just want to keep digging because, like, I've kind of scraped the surface and gone a bit deeper into it. But kind of like, well, if I found this much from, you know, doing some research, like, what could I really find? And I'd like to actually read the book that Bud published about this case and actually kind of hear it from his point of view. Because the majority of the information, obviously, I've given you is from him, but it's kind of passed through different sources by the time you kind of get to it and such. But I don't know. I'd love to hear what you guys think about this case and what UFO abduction cases for you guys are the ones that really stand out and the ones which kind of are quite hard to disprove. And like Bud Hopkins kind of said it himself. He said, with this case, like, it's either a hoax or it happened because there's no real explanation in terms of what all these people saw, if they did see anything. You know, it's that weird thing of if all these people did witness a UFO and a woman being abducted, though, that's kind of what it was, right? Either it didn't happen or that's exactly how it happened because there's no other explanation.
With all the people involved in it, you get more and more absolutely rock solid the case that this could not possibly be an organized hoax, because obviously the more time that goes on with so many people involved, the more likely it is that somebody comes forward. Just as none of the people involved in the Brooklyn Bridge case, not one has ever come forward and said this is a hoax. So, and of course, the reason you even mention a hoax is because that's the only possibility, the only alternative there is to that fact that this happened.
I don't know. Let me know what you guys think. And this is, you know, I'm just second guessing myself now. I don't really know what to make of this account, but it's very interesting. So, and that's what I love about, you know, doing this podcast is it gets me thinking more and hopefully it kind of gets you guys to think a little more and see what's kind of a, you know, what else is kind of out there. But I don't know. I'm curious to kind of see what else we can kind of all find. But thank you guys so much for listening. As I said, all the links are in the description of this podcast, but please subscribe to the podcast and also rate us because it really does help. And also, I didn't mention this at the beginning, but the podcast just turned 3. So I started this back in 2016 in October, and now it's 2019 and it's still going and stronger than ever. And as I always do this, but thank you everyone for listening. I do it because of you guys. If you guys stop listening, I'll stop making it. But if you guys want to hang around and enjoy it, then I'm more than happy to make it because I really enjoy doing it. It's really good for the soul, I think. So thank you so much, guys, for listening. This has been the Manhattan Transfer Abduction or the Brooklyn Bridge UFO Abduction, or also known as the Linda Caudill UFO Abduction. I look forward to seeing you in another podcast episode really soon. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.